Welcome to Yarns at Yin Hu, a podcast about the fiber arts and other post-apocalyptic skills. Episode 312, Indigo Summer. Friday, June 30th, 2023. I'm your host, Sarah. You can find me on social media as Sarah Pomegranate. Each time I record an episode, I post show notes, photographs, and links to things I'm talking about on my website, yarnsatyinhu.com. A great way to support this podcast is by subscribing or simply buying me a one-time coffee on Ko-Fi. You can find the links to that on my website and in my Instagram profile. Each quarter, I offer up some sort of prize for those who are membership contributors or even one-time contributors to Ko-Fi. And for the second quarter, that prize is a pair of hand-knit socks, knit by me in Bear Mountain sock yarn, which is a 100% Dorset sock yarn created by Gail of the Cornwall Yarn Shop. This yarn was a gift from Gail, and I feel it's only appropriate to pay it forward. So I have knit two socks nearly to the toe and have drawn the winner, who is Nancy. ND Casino, you know who you are, on the Ko-Fi page. Please get in touch with me so we can make arrangements for the finishing of your socks. You can send me a cutout of your foot and I can work to size them appropriately and close them all up. Or if you'd like to do your own toes, I can get close and send them off to you with a lot of extra yarn so that you can close them up yourself. So get in touch, let me know, and in the next episode or so, I will be announcing the prize for the third quarter. I've been delving into a few different crafts having to do with paper art, so maybe it will be something along those lines. Ko-Fi supporters really help by sending me the message that they enjoy the podcast and they are committed to it. And they just take the edge off of little things that I do to make the podcast special and send things out and get equipment and other things that I need to keep the podcast going. So I'm very appreciative. And I will keep the prizes going each quarter for Ko-Fi supporters. Thanks so much. Hello and welcome. Thank you for tuning in. I have been focused all day long on getting a podcast out in the month of June, so I can keep up with my goal of having at least one episode per month. Hopefully this will need light editing since it's already after 5 p.m. and I'm just now getting to the recording. There are lots of segments, including the back porch, the front porch, and so forth, ever-expanding skill set, taproot make-along, and off the shelf. And I have an idea for a little spin-off episode that I may record sometime in the next week or so. I've been really on this boba making kick. I have a lot to say, but I think it could be its own little mini-sode. One of the reasons that I've been craving boba is that where I am in my cancer treatment right now is that I pretty much only want cold, creamy things. And boba is kind of a departure from too much ice cream that I had been eating and lots of fun to experiment with. So I've been having a good time with that. Good news is that I have finished the last of my chemo infusions. Yesterday was my final infusion. and I will have a week off from treatment and move on to a pill form of chemotherapy. The better news is that a recent PET scan confirms that the chemo is working to reduce the cancer activity by quite a bit. So that is the best news I could hope for and sets me up for the best trajectory for the rest of my treatment. So I'm very happy with that. I'm feeling the full brunt of chemo side effects at this point. But hopefully, since I'm at the end of those sessions, some of those things will start to improve a little bit. All right, let's get into some segments. On the back porch, I have completed my first of hopefully several entries into the Knitspin Farm outside the sock craft along, where Joanna is encouraging patrons of her shop to use self-striping yarns to do something other than knit socks. And I found this great pattern called Socks Versus Mitts by Carrie Ann Eikenberry, in which the mitts start out essentially like a pair of socks and then turn into mitts. I really like this pattern. It's more like a recipe than a pattern. And the first pair that I finished is in, I think it's the Fence Post colorway. It's a lot of greens and browns and beautiful striping. And I started one mitt from the outside of the ball and the other mitt from the inside. And they kind of line up perfectly along the thumb gusset. It's really cool the way it worked out. I'm very, very pleased with them. I used a tubular cast on and a tubular bind off on these mitts. And instead of knitting them in stockinette for the body of the mitt, I used 3x1 rib. I think this is a great choice when you're giving them to someone who you don't know well, or you're not exactly sure of the size of their hands. It's a super stretchy way to knit both a mitt and a sock. And in the case of the way Carrie Ann Eikenberry put this pattern together and the way she creates a thumb gusset starting with 3 stitches, there's this beautiful ditch of purl stitches on each side of the thumb gusset that works out really beautifully. So I highly recommend the pattern. It's a free pattern. And it's something you could easily riff on. In fact, I've already begun a second pair of these mitts in the Spring Blossom colorway, which is a sport weight yarn. And this yarn was a wonderful and lovely gift from Joanna. And I made a few modifications because of the sport yarn and the yardage, etc. I cast on only 60 stitches instead of 64, and I'll be knitting a shorter cuff, and I don't know if I'll knit a shorter section on the fingers or not, but I am doing the same sort of thing where I start one mitt from the outside of a cake and the other from the inside. Once again, this pattern is socks versus mitts. I think it might actually be socks versus fingerless mitts by Carrie Ann Eikenberry. And it's a great way to create an entry into Joanna's knit along if you'd like to do that. I have several more skeins of beautiful self-striping yarn waiting in a queue to become more mitts. In the last episode, episode 311, I talked a little bit about my reflections on Me Made May and the fact that I had the Ogden cami in heavy rotation. I've made several of these. I really enjoy the pattern. I've altered it a little bit over time, made some adjustments, but I've never tried any of the many, many hacks that you can find online and find tutorials. So I decided I would try an Ogden cami dress hack. I will link to the directions I used in the show notes. This hack has a shortened bodice and a gathered skirt to create a dress. I used some absolutely beautiful Atelier Brunette fabric. It is loom in the night colorway. It's a rayon linen blend. It has a really gorgeous graphic design on a dark background. And the width is 55 inches. And I was able to get this dress hack, which goes below my knees, out of a yard and a quarter. So I'm really pleased with that. Some things I did as I worked on this Ogden cami dress hack is that I incorporated pockets. I used the very generous and well-written directions for pockets from the Amy jumpsuit. I love those pockets. I just feel like my hand just goes in perfectly, and I like the way they're applied in the side seams. So I added those. I did not tack the bodice lining against the skirt as instructed in the dress hack. I did it at first, and there was a kind of puckering with the difference between the stretch of the lining and the stretch of the linen fabric, and I really didn't like it. So what I did was I unpicked the lining, and then I just hemmed it and let it hang inside the dress, and I like that a lot better, even though it doesn't have that same finished quality as in the instructions. In order to get the dress hack out of the 1 1/4 yards, I needed to change the direction of the grain line for the bodice. I think this is partly what created the problem in drape between the bodice and the lining. But I really like the graphic effect of the bodice fabric going in one direction and then the skirt fabric going in another. So I like the end result. I had very little volume for the skirt of this dress. The suggestion that is made in the tutorial is, you know, for quite a highly gathered skirt. And mine has like scant gathering, but still I like it. I like the way it falls. It hangs very straight and doesn't bell out. And I kind of like that because the bodice is rather short, so it doesn't skew like a maternity look. So I'm pretty pleased with that. And to get the maximum length in this skirt, I incorporated the selvage at the hem and just left it. I didn't cut it off. I didn't turn it. The selvage on this particular fabric, it's just the same color as the fabric itself. It's not a band. There's some very, unobtrusive writing, which I put on the back side of the dress instead of in the front, which just identifies the company. And I think it says something about the fiber content or something like that. But it really didn't stand out at all, and I just left it go and let that selvage become the hem of the dress. So for all these reasons, I'm really pleased with how this came out, and I think there would be more of these in my future. I like a sleeveless dress situation because I think it can go through a couple different seasons and you can layer over it. And I'm absolutely in love with the graphic nature and color of this Atelier Brunette fabric. I think this is the first time I've used fabric from Atelier Brunette, and I really admire their ethic and all of the beautiful fiber content that they have on offer. So this was certainly a win and something that, you know, was productive and came from really researching my closet during the month of May as I chose outfits and garments from it. As far as finished projects go, I have also finished the Moonshadow Table Runner from issue 44 of Taproot. I'm very, very pleased with the way this project came out. It's sitting on my dining table. I think it's the perfect summer table runner. I have a lot of wool and kind of heavier things for the colder months, but this seems perfect for the warmer weather. And I'm really pleased with some modifications that I made after the mistakes that I made. Namely, the first time I did quilting around these moon phases, I stitched only through the top fabric and the batting. I did not attach the backing fabric using my quilting stitches. So instead of unpicking it, I created a grid that went across the top and the bottom and then between each phase of the moon. And then I incorporated all three layers, and I think it did a really nice job to hold the whole thing together. I'm also very pleased with my binding on this project, and I hand-stitched all of the applique, all of the quilting, of course. I first applied the binding with machine stitching, but then I stitched it down on the back with hand-stitching. So there's an awful lot of hand-stitching on this project, and I highly recommend it. I was talking to someone at the Stitch Night that I host on last Tuesdays, and she was interested in making that table runner. She also does a lot of more sizable quilts. And I was thinking as I finished up the project that if you really liked the moon phases, you could put four of these table runners together to create a kind of a lap quilt, and you could use different color schemes for each of the bands. I think it could be a really cool project scaled up to a larger piece. So she thought that was interesting, and she has that issue 44 and might embark on the project. We were kind of examining mine closely, and I was showing her some of the changes that I had made. Now that I've finished this Moonshadow Table Runner, it's time to think about a next project in my Taproot make-along. There are a couple of possibilities. That one is the North Country dress in issue 41. This is kind of an overalls style dress that I'd like to do in kind of a canvas or some kind of like durable fabric that I could use as a work dress. It requires a whole notions kit for the overall straps and, you know, a lot of steps and a lot of planning. I'm not sure that I'm exactly up to it yet, but I suppose a first step would be to just look over that section a little more closely and read through some of the directions. Think about fabric. And another possibility is the toadstool doll and leaf from issue 32. This is a Susan B. Anderson pattern for the sweetest little toadstool doll and a little leaf blanket. These are small toys, and I can use scrap yarn, leftover yarn, for them. This would be a little gift for Briar. She does like to play with cutesy, woodsy little things. On a recent visit, she had this little mouse house or chipmunk house that was very much along the lines of this toadstool doll. So I think if I did make it, she would like it and play with it. So that could be a next project. And then I also had as a summer possibility this idea of cyanotypes from issue 18. And then issue 57 arrived. Are you getting Taproot? Did you get issue 57? I think it's one of those kind of must-have issues, and it would be great to start with if you have been thinking of subscribing to Taproot. The theme is blue, and there is also an article about cyanotypes and some different approaches. And my friend D and I had a plan of doing some cyanotypes over the summer. So that's also a possibility of something to happen next. Also in issue 57 are some really lovely blueberry recipes that I am interested in trying. But in the meantime, before this issue arrived, I had come across a blueberry cake on the Food 52 site that I will link in the show notes because I highly recommend. It's a blueberry ricotta cake. It requires no special equipment. I like these kinds of recipes for the summertime. Like, you don't need to get out a mixer. You can use a whisk. It's made in an 8x8 pan. The ingredients are not fancy. I made the addition of lots and lots of grated lemon rind because I think that's a great combination with the blueberries. I think it's actually blueberry blackberry, but I didn't have any blackberries. And I increased the number of blueberries from 1.5 cups to 2 cups, reduced some of the sugar, you know, things I typically do with a recipe because I am my mother's daughter and I always mess with a recipe, even on the first time. I'm just kind of fearless in that way. So I highly recommend this one. And then there are some really interesting blueberry recipes in issue 57 as well. Ever expanding skill set. I've been doing a couple of things over just the past week with paper, and I'd like to tell you about them. The first is that I was invited over to my friend Dee's house. Her sister Elaine has been visiting from Aurora, Colorado, and Elaine has the Red Delicious Studio in Aurora, which is a printmaking studio space that is in what used to be a library space, and she's been running it for a number of years. She shipped some things out and brought some things out on the plane with her because she and Dee spent a lot of their visit making all sorts of things in Dee's basement. And so Sunday when I went over, they were working on lino cuts. And I had very fond memories of doing this in the fourth grade. I have extremely vivid tactile memories of using the different blades to dig into linoleum and create a print and think about, you know, what you were taking away and what would remain. Using the brayer to apply paint and creating the print. This must have been a joyous series of art classes for me when I was quite young, because it has really stuck with me. So I was interested in doing that, but concerned about the strength of my hands. I've been experiencing quite a bit of neuropathy connected with this chemo, and I was worried about cutting myself and worried about how difficult it would be to use the materials. But Elaine had purchased kind of a rubber alternative to linoleum, these blocks of rubber that you could actually use both sides of them. They're quite thick. And she had some blades that you used in a pull method rather than a push method. I think they're like more for kids in classrooms and a little bit more safety conscious. So I started out with those and created a kind of an imaginative foliage design. And then I finished up, I did kind of like a test print, and then I went over and I did use some of the more traditional blades to clean up my block and make a few changes so that I felt ready to print. And I did a few prints before, you know, it was time to go, and I was cleaning up. I was pretty slow in creating, but I made a few prints on very high quality print paper. My favorites, however, were some quick prints I did on kind of scrap paper that had some stamps and some prints and some different things already on it in pale colors. And I just printed my really beautiful dark blue, because it's indigo, it's an indigo summer. I used this really beautiful dark blue paint to do my prints, and I just used that right over top of what was already on the paper. And those are really delightful. So this is a block that I have, and now I can continue to experiment with it. It was a really great afternoon in Dee's basement with Dee and Elaine and also our friend Lizzie. And I felt really accomplished. I really liked what I created. And I felt like it fueled work that I did later in the week. So it just so happened that there was also the opportunity to do a workshop locally at a little cafe in town. With an artist named Karina, who teaches something called papel picado, which is a paper cutting technique that she learned and has kind of like taken in more contemporary directions. So this is cut paper that's used for a variety of kinds of celebrations in Mexico, in Ecuador, where the artist is from. And she has somehow or another come upon this idea of, instead of using paper, using non-fusible interfacing to create these works. And she dyes this non-fusible interfacing with acid dyes of all different, really kind of bright, saturated colors. and leads a workshop on how to do this. So Dee and Elaine and I went to the workshop, and it was a dark and stormy night. There wasn't a lot of light, and my hands did start to give out after a while. And since we were using really sharp blades, I decided to quit while I was ahead. And even though my project wasn't finished, I just stopped, and I knew I had the things at home to complete it when I felt ready. And so the other morning, I got it out, took it outside on my grill table where there was plenty of light, and really just took my time. And I think I almost finished it. I think I would actually like to get the blade back out and do a few more things to this piece. But essentially what you're doing is kind of the snowflake method, where this piece of non-fusible interfacing is folded in quarters, and then you're creating a design that, you know, opens up into this beautiful paper cut that lets in light. You could frame it, you could hang it. I like the idea of backing it with another piece of non-fusible interfacing. And she did roll it up in some plain interfacing. So I might try botanically dyeing something to go behind the work I created to give it extra dimension and color. Right now it's hanging on my clothesline and bringing me great pleasure. I keep looking at it and, you know, making a few changes and adjustments and really enjoying it. And the print that I had made using this kind of like imaginative foliage design really informed some of the motifs that I built into this papel picado. Also, I did the moon phases, which I was really proud of. So they're in one concentric circle. And this is something that is quite simple. It's easy to replicate with like other ideas. And certainly this notion of the fusible interfacing being more durable and fabric-like than fleeting and easily destroyed and paper-like is a very interesting notion. So we learned a lot. We had a lot of fun. And I think the big thing with the workshop for me is always, you know, what can I pull from it that informs work I do further down the line? And I think there was some of that, and I'm pretty pleased with it. Off the shelf, I'm doing quite a bit of summer reading. I finished a book called Genius of Birds by Jennifer Ackerman and learned via the American Birding podcast that she has another book coming out that's all about owls. So that could become a summer read too. Lizzie gave me a book by Ellie Evelyn Orell called An Indigo Summer. She said it's a quick read, it's really tender and touching, and you learn a lot about indigo and the color blue. So that's on my list. And a book that I've been longing to read called Soil, The Story of a Black Mother's Garden by Camille T. Dungy came into the library, and I picked that up and have begun reading it. I met this author in October at the Geraldine R. Dodge Foundation and purchased her book of poetry. And she was talking about this more memoir-like book coming out. And so I was very interested in reading it and thought it would be a great summer read. So for a passage today, I'm going to read just a little bit of what she writes in the first chapter. I'm not very far into this book, but really enjoying it because I think this is a very powerful notion. And given the events of the past few days and the Supreme Court decision, I think it brings kind of like an extra layer of immediacy to what she's writing here. Whether a plot in a yard or pots in a window, every politically engaged person should have a garden. By politically engaged, I mean everyone with a vested interest in the direction the people on this planet take in relationship to others. We should all take some time to plant life in the soil, even when such planting isn't easy. The green of growing things calms me. Plants stabilize me. And I am interested in the patience that is required as I wait for growth. For the politically engaged person, any of us, such patience is a key to survival. Patience is a kindness that carries me through long days and longer nights. Patience is a kindness that carries me through long days and longer nights. Camille Dungy in Soil, The Story of a Black Mother's Garden. And this is recent publication. It comes with praise from Ross Gay, a brilliant and beautiful memoir of Dungy's deepening relationship with the earth. I highly recommend looking into this author. She is quite varied in her approach to writing. She does poetry, she's written this memoir, she's hosted a podcast. And I think she is one of the, you know, up and coming Black voices that are bringing some light and life to political thought in the United States right now. So highly recommended. Really gratified to be reading this book from the library. Thanks for listening. I hope you have a wonderful week that is full of the crafting you enjoy.